Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 19, Text Number 22. Pradushkutanam Bhayanam
Pradushkutanam Bhayanam
Asurinam Minashayat
Asurinam Minashayat
Shudash. The Lord, the personal enjoyer of all sacrifices, now discharged his beloved Sudarshan, which was capable of dispersing the magical forces displayed by the demon. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Even famous yogis and demons can sometimes enact very magical feats by their mystic power. But in the presence of the Sudarshan Chakra, when it is let loose by the Lord, all such magical jugglery is dispersed. The instance of the quarrel between Devasa Muni and Maharaj Ambarish is a practical example in this matter. Devasa Muni wanted to display many magical wonders. But when the Sudarshan Chakra appeared, Devasa himself was afraid and fled to various planets for his personal protection. The Lord is described here as Tripat, which means that He is the enjoyer of three kinds of sacrifices. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord confirms that He is the beneficiary and enjoyer of all sacrifices, penances and austerities. The Lord is the enjoyer of three kinds of yajna. As further described in Bhagavad Gita, there are sacrifices of goods, sacrifices of meditation, and sacrifices of philosophical speculation. Those on the paths of Jnana, Yoga, and Karma all have to come in the end to the Supreme Lord, because Vasudeva Sarvamiti, the Supreme Lord, is the ultimate enjoyer of everything. That is the perfection of all sacrifice. Read the verse again. Pradushkutanam mayanam asurinam vinashayat Sudarshanastram bhagavan puryungta daitam tripat. The Lord, the personal enjoyer of all sacrifices, now discharged His beloved Sudarshan, which was capable of dispersing the magical forces displayed by the demon. So here we have this pastime of Viraha killing the demon Hiranyaksha. And of course today is the appearance day of Lord Viraha. Jai! Although we may not get as many we may not get the so many thousands of people coming in the doors as they do for Janmashtami, because Lord Viraha may not be understood. Krishna is difficult to understand. Lord Viraha is also very difficult to understand, because he appears as God in the form of a boar. So even for the Hindus, God, right? Even for the Hindus, God in the form of a boar is, at least Krishna is in the form of a human. So you get, you know, generally people can accommodate, well, if there is a personal God, then perhaps in a human form I can accommodate that, but in the form of a boar, so there's God with a big snout and, you know, the tusks and the hooves. So, but actually it's the same person as described here in this verse. Tripat, the enjoyer of all sacrifices, if we divide them into three, as Prabhupada mentions, from the Bhagavad Gita, we have sacrifices of meditation, sacrifices of philosophical speculation, sacrifices of goods, or we can say karma yoga, jnana yoga, and karma yoga, jnana yoga, and sangha yoga. And here in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that I am the beneficiary and enjoyer of all sacrifices, penances, and austerities. So we see in the Gita that when Srila Prabhupada is indicating that when Krishna says that I am the enjoyer of all sacrifices, whether they be those on the path of karma, jnana, or astanga, or bhakti, of course the Vedas generally, as Krishna describes in the Gita, mostly deal with the three modes of material nature. Therefore, the paths of karma, jnana. The hidden portion of the Vedas is bhakti. But generally those three material aspects of what the Vedas are dealing with. And by quoting Krishna, Srila Prabhupada is indicating that Krishna is not different from Varaha. They're the same person. And as we understand, Krishna says that he is the father of all living entities. So that Lord Krishna, who is non-different from Varaha, is the same Supreme Lord worshipped by Muslims, by the Christians, in Judaism. So if you go to the Christians, say, yes, we also follow Christianity. We worship the same Lord as you. Here we'll show you a nice picture of God. Here he is in the form of a boar. So it'd be very difficult, you know, if you say that to some groups in this world, perhaps some of the Muslim groups, can get very angry. Show them the form of the Lord Varaha, say, yes, here's a picture of your God. How much trouble I think you may get yourself in. But actually, and some people may think that Lord Varaha, is a Hindu god. But then my question is, do all Hindus look like a boar? And what is Hindu about Varaha? He doesn't look very Indian at all. You find boars in every country of the world. Right? Somebody says, oh, that's a Hindu god. Because they say, Krishna is blackish because he comes from, like the Hindu community. Therefore, they imagine God is blackish because they have the darker skin. So we say, yes, so the Hindus also see themselves, as a boar, having hooves and tusks. So, obviously, neither Lord Varaha is Hindu, a Hindu god, nor Krishna is a Hindu god. He is the same Supreme Lord worshipped in all the religious scriptures. Lord Varaha is actually the enjoyer of Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Astanga Yoga. Now, in the various religions of the world, so you'll find that here Prabhupada puts it in plain language that, you know, the sacrifice of goods or Karma Yoga. So we find that in Christianity, you know, Karma Yoga. They're following some are following that path where they are attached to certain material duties. They want the results of their material activities. They want to go to the heavenly planets and enjoy there. sometimes I get the Jehovah's Witness and Seventh Day Adventists and what have you. They come to my door, I usually have a chat with them. I was giving them a little donation for their magazine because, you know, I've been a Sankirtan devotee. I know how hard it is knocking on people's door. I like to encourage them, you know, well done, it's a hard road, good on you. And but you know, when you flick through their magazines and you see the pictures of heaven, all I ever see is them with their family. I never see God anywhere. It's like, no, seriously. When you go to heaven, you're there, your family's there, there's these beautiful fields and there's the rivers and the trees and the apples that you can now eat and everything like that. God's not present. It's like, to them, heaven means we don't really have to deal with God anymore. On earth, you've got to follow Him, you know, to get to heaven. Once you get there, you don't really have to bother. You know, you just live with your family. He does his own business. He's still punishing people down on earth. So, you know, it's a real, it's Karmakanda mentality. Let me go to heaven, enjoy in heaven. You know, God's not really an issue anymore. It's me enjoying with my family. They've all somehow resurrected in their very self-same bodies and, come to heaven. So, you know, and they're praying to God for, to enjoy here and then to enjoy in heaven. So that's, you know, karma yoga to some degree. Here it describes, as Krishna describes in the Gita, here's the enjoyer of that. Here's the enjoyer of the results of the Christians, the Muslims, Judaism, Hindus, the Jnanis, the Yogis. Here's the enjoyer. And he is non-different. And here it describes Lord Varaha. Now Lord Varaha is described as, you know, it is pointed out in many significant places within the pastimes of Lord Varaha, because the tendency is to think that somehow or another that here is some inferior manifestation that perhaps is not full absolute truth. That somehow when God appears in a boar, that there may be, you know, there's God, and then if you come down a few rungs, there's Varaha, you know, who may have appeared from God in some, you know, lesser form. But actually, he is the same person who is saying in the Gita, "I am the enjoyer of all the, you know, sacrifice." That's the same person. There's nothing lesser. And there's a question I've been asked several times in Bhakti Bhai Baba. So, you know, these are devotees who have studied Gita, studied Bhagavatam for many, many years, very intently, and I see that they're still confused as to whether they're allowed to worship Lord Nrisimhadev or Lord Varaha. And the verse that they quite often quote is from the Bhagavad Gita, not sure which verse it is, someone might be able to recognise the purport, where one should always meditate upon Lord Sri Krishna and not divert his attention to any other incarnation or forms. Anyone know which purport that is in? Yeah, did someone find that? So then, you know, you've probably heard that verse, yeah?
Okay.
Yeah, so see if you can hear some. Where's that pundit? So while you're looking that up, so it's confusing, isn't it? Because, you know, it's stated there, we should, you know, to be a pure devotee of Krishna, and I know even if I wear a t-shirt with Lord Rama or Hanuman, it's like sometimes devotees are looking at you, it's like, you know, Ganga's in Maya. What happened to this Krishna consciousness? He's gone all Ram Bhakta on us, you know. What's that?
It's a contradictory.
It appears, doesn't it? It appears contradictory. Yeah, yeah. But as we know, the spiritual master never contradicts themselves. Sometimes it's just a matter of the disciple trying to understand what appears to be a contradiction. So you've got that there?
Yes.
So, 1865, Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada, the ultimate authority. Now, the verse is saying, Manmana bhava mad bhakto majajimam namaskaru, mama vaishasi satchamte, padijani priyosime. Of course, this is the essence of the Gita, most confidential teachings. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me and offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. Now, I'll read the whole purport. This most confidential part of knowledge is that one should become a pure devotee of Krishna and always think of him and act for him. One should not become an official meditator. Life should be molded so that one will always have the chance to think of Krishna. One should always act in such a way that his daily activities are in connection with Krishna. He should arrange his life in such a way that throughout the 24 hours he cannot but think of Krishna. And the Lord's promise is that anyone who is in such pure Krishna consciousness will certainly return to the abode of Krishna, where he will be engaged in the association of Krishna face to face. This most confidential part of knowledge is spoken to Arjuna because he is the dear friend of Krishna. Everyone who follows the path of Arjuna can become a dear friend of Krishna and obtain the same perfection as Arjuna. So then note this last paragraph. These words stress that one should concentrate his mind upon Krishna, that very form with two hands carrying a flute, a bluish boy with a beautiful face and peacock feathers in his hair. There are descriptions of Krishna found in the Brahma Samhita and other literatures. One should fix his mind on this original form of Krishna, of Godhead, Krishna. One should not even divert his attention to other forms of the Lord. The Lord has multi forms as Vishnu, Narayan, Rama, Varaha, etc. But a devotee should not concentrate his mind on the form that was present. A devotee should concentrate his mind on the form that was present before Arjuna. Concentration of the mind on the form of Krishna constitutes the most confidential part of knowledge, and this is disclosed to Arjuna because Arjuna is the most dear friend of Krishna's. So, why have we all come here on Lord Varaha's appearance day? To hear the Bhagavatam about Lord Varaha, when it appears it is saying that we should not do that. And so, you know, that's why even, you know, very serious students of, you know, Prabhupada's books sometimes are a little confused about that. And you know, I see even with senior devotees that, you know, there's a misunderstanding that somehow if someone is showing great dedication to preaching the glories of Lord Varaha or Lord Ramchandra, that somehow or another it is an inferior form of Krishna consciousness. So if that were the case, I mean, the answer is very logical. If that were the case, then you know, we could ask the question, in Srila Prabhupada's time in preaching, how many verses did he preach from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam about Krishna's pastimes? Compare that to how many lessons he gave on the teachings of Lord Narasimhadev or Varaha. So we see, actually, Srila Prabhupada didn't just, you know, speak just on Krishna as if, you know, he shouldn't speak on Varaha. In fact, the majority of his time was spent in these sections of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Especially the seventh canto of the... he gave more lessons on the seventh canto with Lord Narasimhadev than any other topic, practically. So, you know, his own behaviour refutes the notion that somehow... so there's something more to that. So, you know, there needs to be some... how do we reconcile that understanding that, you know, both of these statements are a correct way to approach Krishna consciousness. And so I'm going to read something here from the Chaitanya Charitamrita which answers that. Now this is from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela, chapter 5. This is describing the glories of Lord Nityananda, strangely enough. describes here, I'm reading from Adi Lila chapter 5. I'll start from text number 125. That person of whom Lord Ananta is a kala, or part of a plenary portion, part of a plenary part, is Lord Nityananda Prabhu, who therefore can know the pastimes of Lord Nityananda. So a part or an expansion of Lord Nityananda is Ananta, and there's been a description there about the unlimited glories of Ananta. From these conclusions, we can know the limit of the truth of Lord Nityananda. But what glory is there in calling him Ananta? So, in order to understand Lord Nityananda, we have had, in this chapter, we have heard the glories of Sankarshan. Sankarshan originally is Balaram, and who manifests as Sankarshan, who resides within Dwarka. From that Sankarshan, there is a manifestation of Lord Narayan, and Lord Narayan on each Vaikuntha planet is surrounded by his associates, the Chaturvyuha, among who is also, you know, Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Prajumna and Aniruddha. And from that second Sankarshan, on one of the Vaikuntha planets known as Mahavaikuntha, the Maha Sankarshan, from him comes Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. And from Mahavishnu. And from Mahavishnu expands, he is the super soul of the whole material energy. And from him expands Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, who is the super soul within each universe. And from him expands Kshiradakshaya Vishnu, the super soul within each and every atom and within each and every living entity. From that Sankarshan expands Anantasosha, who serves the Lord personally in different ways, as his asana, umbrella, you know, so many different ways he serves the Lord, slippers, you know, his couch, bed, so many different ways like that. Now, if we understand the glories of Ananta, Kshiradakshaya Vishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, Mahavishnu, Sankarshan, here the author is saying, what is the glory of calling Lord Nityananda, that he is not different from these personalities? Because they are aspects of his unlimited potency. His glory far exceeds that. You know, it's like saying, within this universe there is Mount Everest. What is the glory of saying within this universe there is Mount Everest when the universe extends unlimitedly beyond Mount Everest? And yet, without understanding the glories of Ananta, without understanding the glories of Kshiradakshaya Vishnu, Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, Sankarshan, how would we understand the glories of, how would we even be pointed in the right direction? Okay. So, it is imperative in the understanding of Lord Nityananda to understand the glories of Sankarshan, Ananta, the three Purusha avatars, like that. And yet, in understanding their glories, we're just getting a little hint of the glories of Lord Nityananda. Because he is not different from them, it is part of his glory, but not entirely. So then we go on to say, but I accept it as the truth because it has been said by the devotees. So in other words, because the devotees glorify Lord Nityananda, Jai, he is no different from Ananta and the Purusha avatars and Sankarshan. Therefore, the author accepts that. Yes, we can glorify him like that, because that's what the Vaishnava do, and we follow the footsteps. Since he is the source of all incarnations, everything is possible in him. They know, so he's talking about the Vaishnavas, they know that there is no difference between the incarnation and the source of all incarnations. Previously, Lord Krishna was regarded in the light of different principles by different people. Some said that Krishna was directly Lord Naranarayan. Some called him Lord Vamanadeva, incarnate. Today, we call him Lord Brahma. Some called Lord Krishna an incarnation of Lord Shiradakshaya Vishnu. All these names are true. Nothing is impossible. So nothing has been said incorrectly so far. If we say Lord Krishna is Lord Brahma, we haven't said anything incorrect. Because he's the source of all those incarnations. And we call Lord Nityananda, Sankarshan, Kshiradakshaya Vishnu. We haven't said anything incorrect. You can glorify him like that. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, appears, he is the shelter of all plenary parts. Thus, at that time, all his plenary portions join in him. In whatever form one knows the Lord, one speaks of him in that way. In this there is no falsity, since everything is possible in Krishna. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has exhibited to everyone all the pastimes of the various incarnations. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made a point to manifest his Varaha form, his Nrisimha form, to show this exact point. Yes, you can glory. If your understanding of the Lord is the glories of Lord Varaha, then you can accept me, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because I am the source. And therefore we say to the Christians, we say to the Muslims, if your understanding of the Lord that he is the greatest, Allah, then you can accept Krishna. If we can say to the Christians, if your understanding is of the Lord as the creator of heaven and earth, you can accept Krishna. There's no contradiction in that. That is your understanding. We say to the impersonal, the jnanis, they are, here the Lord describes that he is the enjoyer of all the sacrifices. If the meditators say their understanding is up to Lord Vishnu through their meditation, then yes, you can accept Krishna because that understanding exists within Krishna, that realization of the Lord. And we can say to the jnanis, if you accept the Brahman effulgence as the basis of reality and the spiritual platform, then you can accept Krishna because that is his bodily effulgence. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, don't think that, because I have appeared in Kali Yuga and I'm dancing among all the low class, people who cannot follow any religious principles, that somehow I am less than Lord Vamanadeva, who appears in the heavenly planets as a perfect Brahmana and associates with the demigods. And Lord Varaha, he dove down into the murky depths of the Garbhodaka ocean and he picked up the earth. And one should not think that, the jnanis, the yogis, the kamis, they follow their ritualistic principles. Everything is spotlessly clean. Everything done is to the purest, auspicious time. Everything is done with a certain paraphernalia of the purest type. And we say, yes, you're worshipping the Lord with the principles of purity, and the jnanis are spotlessly, you know, uncontaminated, and the yogis are spotlessly purified. And who is that Lord? What is the Lord they are worshipping? Oh, he is diving down in the depths of the murky garden. It appears incongruous. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is spreading his Sankirtan movement all over the world. China, Africa, you know, amongst the Turkish people, amongst, you know, every race like that. And one should think, oh, no, we have our Hindu god, you know, he is real paka paka, you know, like this. He is the Lord of the Jnanis, he is Vishnu, you know, he resides in the spotless realm of Vaikuntha and sits within the heart like that. So, one should understand that one should not distinguish that somehow there is a superior or inferior quality of the Lord. That even in the form of Lord Varaha, he is the same transcendental, spotless, pure Lord that is manifested in the pastimes of Lord Ramchandra, Vamanadev, Naranarayan, like that. And similarly, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. The Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, you know, that is the Lord's incarnation principally in the age of Kali. Is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu along with his manifestation as the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And one should not think, oh, well, that mantra is being chanted by the Yavanas and the Malechas and, you know, the meat eaters and this one and that one. So, you know, there must be some inferior manifestation, you know, of the Lord that somehow, you know, if it is. But no, one should never, you know, it is the same Krishna, it's the same Naranarayana, it's the same Lord Vamanadeva. It is the same Vishnu residing in Vaikuntha who manifests in the Maha Mantra. But, therefore, in Kali Yuga, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears, he appears in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is his most magnanimous feature. So if we take all of the various incarnations of the Lord, so when the Lord appears, when he appeared in the form of Lord Varaha, we can understand this, that for the particular task of deliverance for the universe, the form of the boar allowed the Lord to dive deep, broke the waters of the Garbhodaka ocean with his hooves and dive deep into the ocean. And although it was murky and difficult, you know, his eyes were like, you know, transcendentally effulgent themselves. He did not need any other separate light. And with his tusks, he was able to pick up the earth and bring it up like that. And for a boar, that is nothing more enjoyable. One might think, oh, you know, the Lord, he's got this, he has to go down that dirty, murky depths of the Garbhodaka ocean, and, you know, that must be, or, you know, he's probably wishing he was bathing in the Jamuna with, you know, the gopis. But in the form of a Varaha, the boar, there's nothing more enjoyable than that pastime is very enjoyable. Just like Srila Prabhupada mentions that, you know, you see that in this world people like the pastime where they get in the swimming pool on the ocean, they have the lilo, you know, the foam thing, and they lay on their back and they enjoy it like that. He says, where did I get this propensity? This is from Mahavishnu, Gaudaksha Vishnu. You know, he has his umbrella, his Anantasesha. You know, he lays on his back, he enjoys a little, you know, floating on the waters like that. That's where they get that propensity from. So, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is the most compassionate. In fact, Kali Yuga is like the Garbhodaka ocean to Lord Varaha. Where else would he want to be? Where can you manifest the qualities of unlimited compassion and mercy except in Kali Yuga? It is the most appropriate incarnation of Kali Yuga. And the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, if you chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, you have to be very careful. There are 10 offences, you know, especially Vaishnava Aparad. One should not consider Vaishnavas from the material platform either. One should not consider the Lord from the material platform. One should not look at Vaishnavas or Vaishnavis from the material platform. Oh, here is a male, you know, Vaishnava. Here is a female Vaishnava. You know, here is an Indian. This one was born in the Brahmin family. You know, this one was born, you know, in the Malecha family. Like this, that somehow there is, you know, one should not look like that. One should not look at the Vaishnavas in that way. You know, one should see them on the spiritual platform in the same way that one looks at the Lord. So, because there is a tendency for Vaishnava aparad, therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, you first chant my name. You first chant my name because I will not consider, you can chant my name any way you like. Gaura Hari. And if there are offences, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does not consider. I answered that question once with Rasa. She asked that question. If Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does not consider the offences, you know, in one sense, do we commit as many offences as we want? But the answer is no. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he does not consider the offences. Still, he guides us to the level that if we actually want to achieve love of God, you still have to rise above that tendency to commit the offences. But he will keep giving you the opportunity as long as that sincerity is there. And he will allow one to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, to worship the deities, to, you know, associate with the Vaishnavas. Whereas if we did not have the presence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, actually we wouldn't be able to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Although the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is very easy, we would not be able to chant Hare Krishna in Kali Yuga. We would commit so many offences. We would commit so many offences to the deities, we would commit so many offences to each other. We would commit offences to the Holy Name. So without Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it would not be possible for us to actually make progress in chanting Hare Krishna. And but we don't just chant Lord Chaitanya's holy name, we chant the full Panchatattva. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda shared where to get out of Sashri Gaura Bhaktivinoda. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada specifically states in the Chaitanya Charitamrita and his various lectures that whenever we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we must always first chant the full Panchatattva. So if you're having kirtans, even if it's in your own home, sometimes I go to people's homes and they think, well, we're not at the temple now. And I say, can you do a kirtan? And they just launch into Hare Krishna. I say, well, where's the prayers to Prabhupada? Where's the Panchatattva Maha Mantra? That's a must. You know, every time there's a gathering of devotees and they begin some preaching or a little program, prayers to Srila Prabhupada, full Panchatattva Maha Mantra. Then we chant Hare Krishna, and then we get the effect. And Lord Nityananda Prabhu, he is very, very merciful. He is so merciful that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is allowing us the opportunity to associate with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, and to understand the very to taste the full rasa that is possible within the Absolute Truth, Bhagavan Sri Krishna. But Lord Nityananda, he is Guru Tattva. In other words, although he is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, he is not different from Krishna, he is not different from Chaitanya. So although he is Chaitanya, still he manifests as Lord Nityananda, and he shows us how we serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by preaching Krishna consciousness, being very tolerant, being very forgiving, somehow or another trying to fulfill the desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu of allowing Krishna consciousness to be taken to every town and village and even to the most fallen, which is very pleasing. And by following Lord Nityananda, if we get the take shelter of Lord Nityananda and follow his instructions and his guidance, he blesses us with Nityananda, that perpetual spiritual bliss, and that gives the ability to be detached from the material world. And it's that detachment from the material world that allows one to actually make very solid progress in Krishna consciousness. Because if you know, to follow the path of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu means that you didn't, you know, you, that propensity that I am the enjoyer of the material energy, that whole propensity, I'm going to put that aside and I'm going to just preach Krishna consciousness for the pleasure of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The strength to do that comes from Lord Nityananda. He gives spiritual taste. Lord Nityananda represents the Guru, but he also represents the Vaishnava. Therefore, what we learn from the pastimes of here, the writer, is that if someone accepts the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but somehow belittles Lord Nityananda, it is a great offence. It's like accepting half a chicken. So, I love the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chant, dance, prasad, absorb your mind in Radha Krishna. Lord Nityananda, who manifests as the Guru, and the Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis, not very interested in them. I'll chant, I'll dance, I'll take prasad. The offense to the Vaishnava, the Vaishnavi, is synonymous with rejecting Lord Nityananda. And if we do that, you cannot attain the spiritual strength to take up Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. So this is what we learn from Lord Nityananda. So if we look at the Panchatattva, of course, because tomorrow is the appearance day of Lord Nityananda, then we should have a special focus on that. but we, in general, we should understand that just as Lord Varaha performed very, you know, enjoyable pastimes in the depths of the Garbhodaka ocean, that Lord Nityananda also enjoyed very, very similar pastimes in the darkest, murkiest part of Kali Yuga by preaching Krishna consciousness. And if we take up that example and see everyone as a spirit soul, what to speak of the Vaishnavas, then we can actually enter into the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. So I'll just leave it there if anyone has any questions. this pastime, described in the Bhagavad Gita, that, you know, while at the very dawning in creation, while what's that? Lord Brahma was involved in the process of creation, and at that stage, the earth was deluged within the Garbhodaka Ocean. So this was literally during the process of creation, at the beginning. It was right, you know, it was way at the beginning, as the universe was still being manifest. That's my understanding. Yeah. I'll answer that question. Question being, Jagga and Madai had no real understanding of Lord Nityananda, but they attained the mercy of Lord Nityananda. But actually, when Lord Nityananda was struck, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going to kill them with the Sudarshan Chakras, just as Lord Varaha was going to kill Hiranyaksha, Lord Nityananda was compassionately praying for their deliverance. And one of them, I'm not sure it was Jagga Madai, that he understood Jagga is this Lord Nityananda is, you know, no ordinary person. Like that. So, you know, the realization came. And then, you know, he spoke to his brother, and gradually they both surrendered. So, in other words, when one gets the mercy of a Vaishnava or Vaishnavi, even though one is totally unqualified, one understands. Now I understand. There's a story. I don't often tell stories about Maharaj's master, particularly, but because this story relates to this verse, I'm going to tell this story. He was in Russia, I think it was, and there was this person who was at a train station, and you know he lived in like a cardboard box type of a shelter, you know. And whenever the devotees would come past, he would spit, you know. So one day, Shilindra Jimaswamy and the Kirtan Padi were coming past. This man was spitting and just yelling and swearing at them, you know, like this, and abusing them, like that. And then Sri Gurudev took off his garland, stopped the kirtan, he went up and he put that garland on that man. And then he just, you know, sort of broke down. He understood that I don't deserve this mercy. But he understood that he'd been delivered by causeless mercy. Then he understood the Vaishnava. He understood. It melted his heart on the spot like that. And You know, there's a nice story that Guru Maharaj also tells about one of Srila Prabhupada's disciples who became a very wonderful book distributor. You know, they used to call him Pigpen, the devotees. He was sort of like a bit of an untouchable. The devotees, you know, it's smelly, bit dirty, sort of, you know, didn't really speak properly. You know, do we really want him in the ashram? You know, like that. And uneducated. Anyway, when Prabhupada came, they tried to keep this person away from Prabhupada because he was, you know, he's not going to let Prabhupada. Anyway, he somehow, you know, managed to sneak around, and when Srila Prabhupada came to a certain spot, he just lunged and prostrated himself, grabbing hold of Prabhupada's lotus feet. The devotees wanted to sort of pick him up and throw him, and Prabhupada said, no. And he just, Prabhupada stood there for a long time. He just, Prabhupada, you know, please accept, please. And after a while, Prabhupada said, that's enough, I know. And got on. And he, you know, to this very day, as far as I understand, he's, you know, nice book distributor. But, you know, when that causeless mercy of Lord Nityananda comes through the Guru, through the Vaishnava, then one understands, you know. And the Vaishnava, you know, if they don't accept that glory themselves, and then you ask, why have you delivered me? That's just when I took initiation the first time. I said, you know, why would you accept someone like me as your disciple? That's my question. Qualification at all. Because you know, they pretty much picked me up off the street. And he said, it's my duty. You know, the Vaishnava doesn't accept glory. He said, it's my duty to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then we get an understanding of the glories of, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who's giving that order. That he is the Supreme Lord Himself. So, you know, it is through the mercy of the representative of Lord Nityananda, and the representative of Lord Nityananda is not different from Lord Nityananda. We should not treat them differently. We treat the spiritual master as the direct manifestation of Shakshat Tarika, Samasta Sastya, as the direct manifestation of Lord Nityananda. But why did the Panchatattva appear? As the Panchatattva, Lord Varaha, you know, appeared in the Boar incarnation, but specifically the Lord appeared in the five manifestations of the Absolute Truth. You know, there is Swayam Bhagavan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in you know, Seva Tattva, but in the mood of the devotee of the Lord, Prakash Tattva, Lord Nityananda, the manifestation of Godhead, the expansion. Avatar Tattva is Advaita Acharya. Shakti Tattva, Gadadha, and Jiva Tattva is Srivas. And yet, five different varieties, and yet it is one manifestation of the Absolute Truth. Because in Kali Yuga, everyone has a tendency that what they are doing is the all in all. You see in the Bhagavad Gita, it says, you know, there are different types of faith. And that person who accepts, you know, what they're doing, this is the all in all. There's nothing beyond what I am doing, what I believe. That's Kali Yuga. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. No, actually, everything is one. If you like the principle of oneness, yes, you can have that principle. That what you are doing is the best. There's nothing beyond what you are doing. Everyone can think like that. That is a natural propensity in Kali Yuga. So he's not going to stop that. But there's a variety or diversity in unity. That everyone can enjoy a different taste from that one absolute truth, according to them. So, therefore, you know, in our preaching Krishna consciousness, we don't ask people to stop being Christian. If that is the taste that they derive from their understanding and service as the master and servant, then let them enjoy that. That is a bona fide, you know, mood of service. You know, there is actually a, you know, a special satisfaction knowing that the person who maintains you is the most wonderful personality. Children like that. Children like to think of their mother and father like that. And my father's a strong, my father's got bigger shoulders than yours, he's got bigger muscles than you. My father looks after me. You know, my mother's like this. And the parents, they enjoy being the maintainer. So there are varieties of enjoyment in relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead from the perspective of the Lord and from the perspective of the devotee. So we say, yes, we're not saying change your faith and give up Christianity or Muslim religion or this. Just be a real Christian. Get the real spiritual taste. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't be a Sunday, Monday Christian, Prabhupada calls it. Prabhupada says, a Sunday, Monday business. Sunday confession, Monday, back to the sinning. What day is it? Monday, back to the sinning. Sunday, confession. It's, you know, or as Prabhupada says in that purport of the Bhagavad Gita, don't be an official meditator. Or 2 o'clock every day I meditate on God. 2:15, finished. Okay. Don't be an official meditator. You know, you mould your life in such a way that you can always think of God. And that means you have to develop love. So, there are varieties in the absolute truth. Just like there is oneness, but there is also difference. In the Gita, Krishna teaches that. He says, you can understand that this philosophy because earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, ego, and the spirit soul, all those different varieties, they're all coming from one source, they're all one with me, therefore it's a oneness because they're all coming from me. But because they're one, you don't go up to, don't go for a swim in the fire. There's no water. There's a oneness there, but you treat fire as fire and water as water. And, you know, we say Lord Varaha is not different from Krishna. But where Prabhupada mentions in the Gita that one should not divert one's attention to any other incarnation, means that the devotees have the opportunity by the grace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to taste the full measure of variety of rasa on a level that's never ever been given by any other incarnation, not Varaha, not Vamana. That is there. So don't divert your attention from Krishna, that opportunity by Krishna. And, you know, Prabhupada said that, you know, if someone asks that, oh, you know, Vasudeva, Varaha, you know, they're all Krishna, like that. Prabhupada said, everything is within Krishna consciousness. Everything is within Krishna, but Krishna consciousness is not necessarily within everything. In other words, if you are fully Varaha conscious, you are not necessarily Krishna conscious. But if you are Krishna conscious, you are also Varaha conscious, Vamana conscious. You are conscious of everything because everything is within Krishna. But if your level of understanding is only up to Allah, Allah is the greatest. But I have no idea what he does. It's like saying, you know, the greatest football player that ever existed was, you know, Jose Felares, whatever his name is. Oh, what did he do? Oh, no one's ever seen him. How many goals did he get? Oh, we don't talk about that. How big was he? We don't say. But he's good. Yep. It doesn't. How do we know he's the greatest? You know, what did he do to be the greatest footballer of all times? So we may say, yes, Allah, he's the greatest. Oh, what did he do? What did he do with his unlimited power? So, therefore, the understanding of Allah is within Krishna. The understanding of Krishna is not within Allah. You have to go further. How did he manifest his spiritual potency? By unlimited, you know, varieties of avatars and different specific relationships with his devotees. So oneness and diversity. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared as Panchatattva to that in Kali Yuga where everyone wants to take what I am doing as the all in all. No, you understand the variety that we can all, you can all be different because you all have a tendency to separate in quality and quarrel. You can all be different, but there is a oneness in Krishna consciousness. Like that. And that is realized through the Panchatattva. Thank you, Hare Krishna.